So we have been doing this year with what the Bible really says about. And if you have these little books, we're on page 37 for today. I'm not taking grades or looking to see who pulls them out or doesn't. I'm not doing anything like that. And the word for today, we're in the fourth in a series of what does the Bible say about a word. And the word for today is gratitude. And we have two scriptures, both written by the Apostle Paul. The one from 1 Thessalonians is considered the earliest one that Paul wrote. And then we have one from Philippians. Both of them look at gratitude in different way. And it may seem like, is that something I'm really grateful about? I want you to ask yourself that question as you hear these scriptures.
Reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Now these words that Pastor Evie mentioned from Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty and amazing God, you woke us up this morning and we got here. Thank you for bringing us here on this day. Be with all who wanted to come but couldn't. We ask, O God, that we recognize all the blessings you have given us. Show us what it means to be disciples who touch into that place of gratitude in our hearts. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now, most of you have probably heard this story or read it on the internet because it's been going around for quite a while. But it gives a different perspective on what you might be grateful for. There was a rich man who wanted his young son to know what poor people lived like. So he decided to take him to a village for a few days of very poor farmers. And after they were there and they were in the car driving home, the dad looked at the son and said, "So what did you think?" He said, "It was great, Dad." And he goes, "Well, so now you know how the poor live." The son goes, "Oh, yes." And the dad goes, "Well, what did you learn?" And the son goes, "Well, I learned that we have one dog and they have two. I learned that we have a pool in our backyard and they have a stream that goes on forever." He said, "I learned that our front yard is very small and they have fields that go beyond my sight." He said, "I learned that we have servants that serve us and they serve each other." And he said, "And I learned that we've put a wall around our property to keep us safe. They have friends who help protect them." The father was silent. And the young boy looked back at his dad and said, "Thank you, for showing me how really rich people live. Completely different perspective. But when I read that story, I thought of my family in rural western Nebraska. Many were farmers and some were ranchers. And I would go out there in the summer, and I loved to go out there to Arthur in Arthur County, 267 people in the village. And my dad said that that included the chickens and the cats. But what I got to do there was amazing. I would be able to walk around anywhere without a problem. I could go horseback riding in the hills with friends that I had there. At night, I would be outside with them, and we'd be sitting out under the stars, and we would try to count them, and we just had a beautiful and wonderful time. And they did not have much, but I loved going there, and every summer, I couldn't wait to get back. So when I was in seminary, and I read those words of Paul, "I, Paul, have learned to be content in all circumstances," the first place I thought of was Nebraska and my relatives, because they were not rich by any means. But they had years where things were really good, as farmers and ranchers do, and years where they barely made it through. But I never saw it affect their attitude towards life. They enjoyed the simple things like Sunday barbecues where the whole town seemed to come out. They told bad jokes that made everyone groan. The families all got together. Whether it was a good season or a bad season, my grandma at dinner would all, her prayer, her blessing for dinner was a list of what she was grateful for. And one time I heard my grandpa say to my dad, "Ray, we've been through worse, and we've made it with God. There's nothing to worry about. We'll make it again." Now, I have to admit, I didn't always have my grandpa's attitude. There were many times in my life when I could not find anything to be grateful for. I could not voice it. I had too many questions. Why would God allow this to happen? How could my cousin have committed suicide? How could one of my best friends have been killed? I had too much going on to find anything that I thought was good. But Paul, these words in Philippians, as I studied them in seminary and as I actually wrote a paper on them, I thought, what was he trying to do? What was he trying to say? And I really got that he was trying to teach us, teach his community, teach me, teach us how to live with gratitude regardless of your circumstance, because Paul had that ability. He had the ability, whether he was rich or whether he had nothing, whether he was in prison or out of prison, his love and his gratitude and his thankfulness to God had nothing to do with his external circumstances. And I found that quite amazing, because I was pretty tied to my external circumstances and what happened in life for me to feel grateful. But he was saying that when you find that gratitude there, when you find true gratitude in your heart, it will raise up automatically, because it comes from your love for God. And it comes from thankfulness that God is there with us in each and every circumstance. And it comes from knowing that we are not walking through life alone. Gratitude is a really important spiritual quality for those of us who are disciples. Elie Wiesel, a Holocaust survivor and Nobel laureate, said a person without gratitude is a person who has lost his or her humanity. In fact, he goes on to say, you can almost judge a person by their attitude towards gratitude. It was that important. And somebody who survived the Holocaust could say those words for us to remember and to know that we can be grateful for everything in our lives. You know, when Pastor Stewart read those words from 1 Thessalonians, I wondered what Paul was doing at the beginning of those words, because they were kind of instructions for living. And I thought, well, okay. He told people to be patient. We should be patient. He told people to be kind to everyone, no matter whether they were part of their group or not. I'm going to underscore that a little bit, because Paul says that in several places in his writings, that we are to show kindness and we are to show love to people who may not be part of us, not just to us. And so that's what he was telling that community and all of us today. And he was saying that if you do that, then you will begin to pray unceasingly or pray continually. You will pray always, and you will give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. That line caught me. I thought, what is he really saying there? Because that line, this is the will of God, actually had me leave the church for a while. Because I heard a pastor preach on it that said, whatever is happening in your life, no matter what, is the will of God, and it is your duty as a Christian to be grateful for it. And I was in my 20s, and there was no way I was going to love a God who said, zap, you get polio. Or a God who pointed a finger at a small child and said, I'm giving you abusive parents to make you stronger. I was not going to believe in that God, and I was not going to stay in a church that said that that was what I needed to do. And I continued my journey, and I found my way back to church through a various set of circumstances. And then right before I went into seminary, something happened in my life that was fairly traumatic. And once again, that verse felt like it was used as a weapon. Somebody said to me, well, Evie, if you're going to go into seminary, you had better be thankful for everything in your life, including what just happened. For it's the will of God. And if you can't be thankful for it, then you probably shouldn't go to seminary. I was really mad. Really mad. So when I got to seminary and I got in my first New Testament class, I got to pick a scripture to do a paper on. And I picked this scripture because I wanted to know what Paul was really saying. What was he saying there? Well, first of all, we look at that pray unceasingly or continually. Always pray unceasingly or continually. In the Greek, that word always carries a component of joy with it. So it was to pray with joy. He was trying to teach his community to pray with joy in whatever they were doing. If they were washing the dishes or vacuuming they didn't have vacuums in, but if they were washing the dishes or sweeping the floor, whatever they were doing, to do it with this joy, giving thanks to God for the opportunity to be able to do that. So pray unceasingly, and then pray for wisdom and strength and courage, whatever we need in life. But pray with gratitude and for gratitude. Once again, for that God that is with us in everything, is there with every step we take. Well, then there's that phrase, for this is the will of God. It's a tricky phrase for us to understand, because in the Jewish context of Paul's day, that phrase would have been a descriptive phrase, which meant right living or doing the right thing is the will of God. And here he was trying to say, praying unceasingly is the will of God. Giving thanks is the will of God. But he wasn't saying to people, you have to give thanks for something horrible happening in your life. You can give thanks for God walking with you through it, giving you the power and the people with you to see what you need to do and how to become all you can be. So I want to say that again, that phrase, it is the will of God, was a descriptive phrase in the Jewish context of Paul's day. They would have understood it much differently. It was a phrase that was trying to describe a right way of living, a good way of living. It is the will of God that we live well. It is the will of God that we live in gratitude. It is the will of God that you can meet things. You know, the people in Paul's day in both of those communities were not wealthy. They weren't rich people. They were probably very poor and slaves. So he wasn't talking about or to people that had an abundance of things. He was talking to people whose lives were hard and who may not know where their next meal was going to come from or what was going to happen with the government or with them. And still he said to them, you can pray unceasingly. And as I thought more and more about that, there was an image that came to mind that I've used over the years that reminds me of kind of that right way of living, that what Paul was talking about. This is a stacking doll. And aren't there times in our lives when we seem whole and complete, when everything is going well? And then there are those moments where something happens and life starts coming apart. At first, it's not so bad. But then maybe you've been in one of those phases of life where things seem to unravel and just keep getting worse. Maybe the next thing happens and the next thing happens and you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how to do it. You don't even know sometimes where to turn next. You don't have any thought about how you are to do something. And you feel like maybe God is absent. You feel like life is not repairable. Sometimes you may even wonder how you're going to get through the next day. But then in the middle of this stacking doll is this little teeny doll. This little teeny doll. This represents for me the place in each one of us that cannot be broken. It is the seed of holy that God puts in us. It is the place of grace and love that is there no matter what is happening in our lives. It is the place of Jesus' power being with us. Life can feel like this, but this place exists. And sometimes we don't even know that we've touched that place, but suddenly there might seem like a glimmer of hope, like a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Something turns around just a little bit, and life starts to come back together again, slowly, through prayer, sometimes prayer of friends, because maybe we can't even pray at that time. It comes back together with patience. It comes back together sometimes with medicine, sometimes getting the treatment we need. But slowly over time, we find that life doesn't feel as stressful, that life doesn't feel so broken. And we recognize that grace and gratitude are the same side of the coin, and that with God's grace, neither can gratitude be broken, because life can be made whole again. And we always have the power and presence of Christ with us to fill us. I hope, my friends, that we can take the gratitude for God being in our lives and let it grow in us. Let it become ever truer no matter what is happening. And that we can take that gratitude and God's grace out into a broken and hurting world. Amen.